Let's look at Psalm 46. It says this: God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let them go ahead and roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble and rage and surge. A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. Be still and know that I am God, and I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. Father, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would accompany the words spoken. And Lord, it would go into our hearts and plant new seeds. And God, we will begin to take new territory in our lives because of the word that you've put forth in Jesus' name. Amen. I know something about life, and that is this: it's uncertain. The more I know about life, the less I know about life. I mean, you can relate to that. Life is filled with uncertainty. In the context of this psalm, he's speaking about all the uncertainties, the things. He will not fear earthquakes. We'll not fear when the mountains crumble. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let all these things happen. I'm going to trust in the Lord. And he ends with that phrase, be still and know that I am God. Things in life change. Sometimes calamity happens. Sometimes things happen in our lives. And frankly, we need to learn, or we should all need to, or we want to have peace, but we need to learn how to have that peace. I don't know about you, but those of you that are on Facebook, all of our lives are not as epic as Facebook puts them out to be. We post the prettiest pictures, and you see the perfect selfies. You'll take 20. I stink at selfies. I'm horrible at it. Look like I'm cross-eyed every time, and my grin is funky. I just don't know how to do it. But you see people, and they're good. They'll post the best and the brightest, and you don't see them post in their low moments. They'll post a picture of the prime rib and lobster dinner that they're having, or the buffet that they're having on the cruise ship. I'm guilty. I've done this. Posting those pictures. But they won't post it the day that they had one box of macaroni and cheese left and say, this is all we had left. We'll post the best and the brightest. I don't know about you, but life is not always Facebook epic. I don't know about you, but I get here Sunday morning and as fired up as I am right now, sometimes on Monday morning, I'm not always walking into the promised land in victory. There are times where life is smacking you upside down. But how do we keep our peace in the midst of those times? When calamity happens, when something suddenly comes our way. We all know how the world changed on 9/11. When those planes crashed into the building. How literally the world changed, but more specifically our country changed. I mean, how much more did it change for those people who were there in New York City? How much more did it change for those families who were immediately affected? Life is filled with uncertainties. And in the midst of those kinds of uncertainties, in the midst of the economic crisis that we went through in 2007-8, when the housing fell apart and everything fell apart, people are losing things left and right, in the midst of homes being lost to fires over the last several months, all over California, not just here, how can we maintain our peace in the midst of those kinds of things? That's what I want to talk about this morning. When our personal lives are suddenly impacted by changing news, the doctor gives you a negative report. The doctor gives you a bad diagnosis. We walk into work and find out that our company is closing and we're going to be laid off soon. We show up like we always do at home, and all of a sudden our relationship has fallen apart. And sometimes life just has these calamities that come our way. But God tells us in those situations, we can be still and know that he is God. Has anybody had circumstances rock your world? I guess I'm talking to the right folks. I think we've all been caught a little off guard with something horrible that caught us by surprise. How is it that the psalmist can say about earthquakes and mountains crumbling and oceans roaring, he could say in the midst of all that, be still and know that I'm God. I know this, the word of God is true. And we can stand on the word of God. It's true. And you can trust God's word on the things that he says. But in the natural, when catastrophe strikes, it's natural to panic. Does anybody else just panic when something happens? It's a normal, natural, even your first thought, even if you're good at not panicking and staying cool, your first thought is typically panic, fear. Oh no, what? The longer we learn to trust God, the longer we can stay at peace. The truth is, while God's word is true, it's not always easy. Be still and know that I'm God. Oh, that sounds good, Pastor. You have no idea what I'm going through. I don't, but God does. That's how you can be still to know that he is God, because I'm not God. It's the word that's true. But it's not always that easy to live out this word. But it is possible, and even more importantly, it's possible because the psalmist talks about the difference today is the peace that holds us together. When we discipline ourselves spiritually to stay at a place of rest. How many of you would like to know how to keep your peace when you're in the midst of some circumstances? Okay, just the first service. I want to know. It starts, first of all, with our mindset. The right mindset enables us to gain the right perspective. This, in turn, affects our and directs our understanding. In the season of life where it's been turned all upside down, we have to have the right mindset. We are spiritual people. And with the right mindset, that's where the peace of God comes from. Here's what the writer of Hebrews says about this. He says, if Joshua had succeeded in giving them rest, God would have spoken about another day of rest. I'm sorry. Now, if Joshua had succeeded in giving them this rest, God would not have spoken about another day of rest to come. Do you see the difference? So there's a special rest still waiting for the people of God. For all have entered into God's rest, have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. So let us do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God, as the people of Israel did, we will fall. In the Old Testament, it speaks of two types of rest. The first rest is the Sabbath. Speaking of on the seventh day, God rested and he told us to keep the Sabbath day holy. 6 days of work and resting on the seventh day. Another rest was allowing the land to rest. That's actually an aside of that. But the second kind of rest was he speaks about when they entered into the promised land and they took possession of the land, that they would experience rest because they've been delivered from their enemies. How anybody want to be delivered from your enemies and receive that rest? The writer of Hebrews shows the people of God that this was the ultimate rest. He was basically saying, Joshua couldn't give them this. It came from God. Here's what I want to say about this. The rest that you and I seek is not something that you and I can create. The peace that you and I seek is not something that you and I can create. It comes from God, just as our salvation comes from God. Listen to this scripture. For by grace you've been saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. The outset of our relationship with God was his idea, was his plan, his strategy, and he took the first step. All we do is receive what it is that he did for us. Do you see that? Yeah. It's not something I can do, not of works that I can even boast. It's a gift of God. Our relationship with God doesn't even come about because of us working. How do we think that peace of God is going to come about from us working into it? It's the grace of God. We need to remind ourselves of that. So the way we enter into our relationship with God through faith is the way we enter into our relationship with rest, or we enter into that peace, is we have the faith that God has got this, that we can have a peace that surpasses all understanding. Here's what I know about the peace of God. It's the peace of God. It's the peace of God. How many want a peace of God? I want the peace of God. The peace of God. God gives a supernatural infusion of peace in your life. But the problem is most of us, when we encounter situations when peace is trying to be ripped off, we'll work extra hard to try and make peace arrive. You know, we've got bigger bills, so we work double time and triple time. And no one's saying don't do your diligence and all those things. But that's not how you're going to gain peace. Somebody has their house burned down, of course. They contact the insurance company and they begin the process of all the things that you have to do to regain your life at some point. But in the midst of all those things, real peace comes from God. It's not going to come because you finally build a house back up. Real peace is not going to come because the economy goes right back up. You can have real peace no matter what the economy says. You can have real peace no matter what the doctor says. You can maintain that peace because it's not your peace. It's the peace of God. Everybody say peace of God. But here's what it takes. It takes us being restful. The solution to receiving the peace of God is being restful. In the midst of turbulent times, when the inner man is going, oh no, why are you, I'm all disturbed. The psalmist says, why are you so disquieted within me? He was disturbed. Many times we come to that place, but God will give us the peace that surpasses. It's the same God who loves you and cares for you that sent Jesus to die for your sins that will send peace to overcome your situation and maintain in your situation. We need to let God do the work. Now, how many want to know the real key to having peace with God? Or peace, the peace of God? How many want to know the real key? One word, surrender.
Oh, that sounds so easy.
See, I said that the word of God is true, but here's what it takes. It takes surrender to God. It takes really trusting that God knows what he's doing, that God is God. Here's what David says in the scripture that you know very well. I used it. This is the first psalm that I used. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We just have this laundry list of wonderful things about the shepherd. But if he's not your shepherd, you don't get any of that. If you've not surrendered your life to the shepherd, you've not surrendered your thought process, your mindset to the shepherd. The Lord can only be our shepherd when we surrender that role to him. You're not good at leading yourself. Newsflash. I stink at leading myself. I can deceive myself in a heartbeat and make and justify it and find 10 of you to help me justify it with me. And we'll form a club. You get a secret whistle and a handshake and everything, all around some deception that we've come up with to make ourselves feel better. We have to realize that it's surrender to God, surrendering to the shepherd, that God is God, that Jesus is the shepherd of our hearts and our emotions, that it's him who will lead us beside still waters. It's him if we'll let him. If we will let him. The life of Job is an amazing story. Amazing case study for exactly what this looks like. Yeah, yeah. How many have faced some really difficult times? How many have been at the Job level? Where you, in a matter of moments, you lost your family, your cattle, your livestock, your homes. Yeah, everything was gone. And not only that, not only did you just lose everything, but then all the people around you began to tell you what you should be doing. How many know when you're going through something, everyone wants to tell you what you should be doing? Every time I get a cold, you know what you should be taking? I appreciate it. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, my back's out. Oh, you should be doing this stretch. Everybody's got advice. I'm telling you, all the voices come to Job. They're coming at him. And his own wife says, man, you must have done something crazy. You should just curse God and die. And Job, in the midst of all the voices, how many have voices? How many of most of them are in your own head? Right? So you got voices in your head. You got voices all around. All these voices saying all these negative things. And all of them, you know, maybe they even mean well. That doesn't mean they're not deceived. They might even mean well, but they're speaking all these things. And they're negative. Curse God and die. And in the middle of that, instead of Job speaking out death over a situation, I can almost see him struggling with this mindset, as we might struggle. Rather than speak out death like everyone else is around him, he says these words. Look at this verse. It's so powerful. Job 6:24, teach me and I will be quiet. Stop for a minute and think about that. Here comes the bad news. Boom, like a train into your house. Here comes the earthquake. Here comes the fire. Here comes all the voices. Here comes the voices in your own head. Here comes everything's coming your way a million miles an hour. And in the midst of that, Job, who literally is a case study, says, teach me and I'll be quiet. I can almost hear him saying, God, I just don't want to agree with these people right now. I want to teach me to be quiet. I'll be quiet. The psalmist is saying the same thing. Be still and know that I am God. But this takes surrender. It takes a teachable spirit. It takes spiritual discipline. It's the only way we can experience this peace. Now, this is a question I'm going to ask it twice because I think it's important. When was the last time you stopped trying to fix everything or wish everything away, and just sat in the presence of God? And I wonder how quickly we would get to the answer if we would first choose to surrender and sit in the presence of God. When was the last time you stopped trying to fix it all and wish it away, because that always works, and you just said, God, I'm going to be still and know that you are God. I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm preaching it because it's the word. It takes discipline. It takes the mindset of knowing God is in control of this situation. I can totally leave it go. And I'm a poster child for trying to fix it first. You do it all through 57 different tries, and you get over, give it, and then you go, okay, God, I throw it up to you now. Why didn't we do that to begin with? Let's cut to the chase. Like, I don't even, how many licks does it take to get in the middle of a Tootsie Roll? One. I want to get to the end, man. Give me the answer. I mean, if God's the answer, I'm going to go to God, the answer. I don't need to go to you. Yes, the Bible says there's wisdom in a multitude of counsel. But if that multitude of counsel isn't pointing you back to God, they're not pointing you the right way. So we need to seek God first. And literally, Job prays in this season. He says, Lord, my words here, but in essence, he says, Lord, during this season when it would be natural for me to be in fear and anxiety, God, teach me to be quiet. Stop and be still. Another psalm says in Psalm 131, the Lord, my heart is not proud. My eyes are not haughty. I don't concern myself with matters too great or too awesome for me to grasp. Instead, I've calmed and quieted myself like a weaned child who no longer cries for its mother's milk. Yes, like a weaned child is within my soul. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord now and always. When we're experiencing some kind of tragedy, calamity, if you will, unexpected news, we have to admit that we can't figure everything out. We just can't. This scripture is basically, I can't even get my mind around what's going on around me, so I'm just going to calm myself and quiet myself. Do you see that? I'm just going to quiet myself. This is the antidote for all those things. Lord, I've done everything I know to do, but at this point, I can't concern myself with what others think, what others are doing, what the economy is saying, what the president's deciding, you know, what the God. I'm going to quiet myself. The psalmist says we've got to act like this child who's been weaned from the mother's milk. I have a brand new grandbaby. And you know I'm getting excited when I start doing tongue twisters up here. But when babies are little, right, they let you know when they let you know three times really big. When they're tired, they scream. Hello? They get tired, they start whining. When they're dirty, they start whining. But when they're hungry, they ain't no cry like a hungry cry. And they will not shut up until you put something in their mouth. Amen, moms, grandmas? You know what I'm talking about. Y'all went through that. And they go through this, I'm never getting another meal again. That's what they don't have any idea because they're brand new to this thing. It's new. But like a child weaned off of its mother's milk, we need to become. So as the child grows older, he begins to trust that mom and dad got their back. The child starts out crying and whining, give me some more food. And then later on, when they're 24 years old and living under your house, they no longer cry. They've been weaned off of that. Are you hearing me? There comes a point where they realize. You remember when your kids are in junior high and they open the refrigerator and they go, there's nothing to eat. You're like, are you kidding me? There's like a whole soup in there if I put it all together. Like, plenty to eat. It's amazing how at some point they begin to kind of go, well, you know, God's got this. Or your mom's got this. They'll take care of it. They stop crying the way they did as a child. You hear the. Now, my perfect picture of peace, the one I love the image I love the most of peace is the image of a child in a car seat. You know, 1, 2 years old, child's driving, child's not driving, mom's driving, dad's driving, if the child's driving, we're in trouble. The child's in the back seat, and I guarantee you, the child's not sitting back there going, I wonder if dad updated his driver's license. I wonder if he's got insurance. Has mom ever driven a stick? Man, she's not that great of a driver anyway. Sorry, I picked on you, ladies. The kid's not back there thinking any of these thoughts. Why? Total peace, total faith, total trust. Mom, dad's got the wheel. They got this. You got no problem with this. Total faith and trust. And I love this because when Aaron was about 3 or 4, this isn't picking on Aaron's story. This is a funny story. But when Aaron was about 3 or 4, mom and him, Christy and him, were heading off to somewhere. And they went through, my wife ran through a red light and got T-boned. Like really bad accident kind of a situation. Thankfully, no one was hurt. But she got T-boned at about 35, 40 miles an hour. How many know that? Thank God that they were safe. She got T-boned. The car spins around and stops. And Aaron, 3, 4 years old, from the car seat goes, what'd you do that for? I'm telling you what, God won't do that to you. Where you're going, God, what'd you do that for? You can trust God. You can keep your peace and know that he's got you. The psalmist tells us that we need to be like this weaned child of total trust. You know, Jesus said these words. In fact, worship team, come real quick. Jesus said these words. In this world, there's going to be tribulation. My version of it is, in this world, there's going to be trouble. Everybody's looking at the worship team. Y'all need to move faster. We need to be 1,000 people so nobody notices the worship team moving. I'm watching everybody's eyes going, what's she wearing today? What's it? I wonder, are we almost done for waffles? And right here, okay? Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Jesus says to us, you're going to have trouble. Way to be negative, Jesus. Thanks a lot. I was looking for an encouraging word, and you said that. What is Jesus doing? He's stating the obvious. In this world, you're going to have trouble. But church, you're not of this world. He said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The Bible says you're a partaker of his divine nature. We're literally strangers in a strange land. We're not of this world in the sense that you and I think of it. We're of his kingdom. We're in his power. Here's what the scripture tells us. Again, he wasn't just being negative. He was speaking the obvious. He tells us this, and Paul says, don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the God of peace, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I love this. I love this translation because he uses the word transcends. The God of peace, so he'll give you a peace, listen, that transcends understanding, that doesn't make sense to you. It doesn't make sense to the world around you. Everybody's going to think you're nuts. He must be a Jesus freak. I am. I told you, well, religion's a crutch. Nope. He's an ambulance, hospital crutch. He's the whole thing for me. I'm all in with Jesus. They're not going to understand how you can lean on, not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. They're not going to understand where this peace that surpasses or transcends all understanding is coming from. They will only understand it if you live it out in front of them, and they're going to want some of what you got. This peace is possible for us. In the natural, there's no way that we can have a relationship with the Heavenly Father. It took a supernatural act on the behalf of God. And in the natural, there's no way that you're going to have the peace of God. You're going to have to surrender and submit yourself to God. I want you to bow your heads all over this place. You're here this morning, and literally there's things, situations, circumstances that have tried. And that's what the enemy does. Tried to rip off your joy, but more importantly, tried to steal your peace. And you need to come back to a place of peace. And today, it's real simple. You're just saying, Lord, I need to resurrender my heart to you right now. I need to surrender because I want that peace. I need the sustaining peace of God. If that's you, I want you to slip your hand up because I want to know who I'm praying with. Amen. I see your hands. Amen. Come on. Yeah. Amen. Come on, I see your hands. Yes, absolutely. We're praying for a peace to sustain us. Let's stand together, church.